You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Hey, what's up, Vox and Hops heads? I'm Matt, the vocalist of Cryptopsy and the host of the Vox and Hops podcast, brought to you by Sound Talent Media, where I sit down with fellow metal musicians to talk about their lives, music, and craft beer. This is it, people. This is the last Vox and Hops episode of 2020. That's right. I am taking 2 weeks off to spend some time with my family to enjoy the great things in life, such as metal and craft beer, of course. I am really, really looking forward to it. To help celebrate the end of 2020, I am hosting an epic virtual New Year's party, aptly called Vox and Hops' Hoppy New Year Party. You should absolutely come to this. I'm inviting you all right now. Please come and hang out with me, some of the Vox and Hops alumni, the Thirsty Thursday gang. You're all invited. Come hang out. We're going to have a good time. This is happening, of course, on Thursday the 31st. It starts at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it's going to run until after New Year. We're going to ring in 2021 virtually, because that's the only safe way to do that this year. If you would like to come to Vox and Hops' Hoppy New Year Party, send me a message on the Vox and Hops social media accounts, and I will send you that private link. Tomorrow, make sure to check out Vox and Hops' Brutal Awakening playlist. The metal architect Jerry Monk himself is, as we speak, checking out all of the new music releases that have happened today, and he is going to be adding the sickest tracks to the Brutal Awakening playlist. So tomorrow, check it out, people, because the metal architect knows what's up. Today, on the final Vox and Hops episode of 2020, I am with Chris Wallstrom of Warfect. Here it is, people. This is Vox and Hops episode number 215.
I warn you, what you are about to hear is very disturbing indeed.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Today I'm with Chris Wallstrom of Warfect. I am so stoked to be with you. I love these singles that I've been hearing coming up from this record that you guys just dropped via Napalm Records, Spectre of Devastation. How are you doing, Chris? Let's start with a complex yet super fun question that I've been throwing at people recently. How have you been coping with 2020?
Thank you for having me. Well, it's a very unusual year, that's for sure. But we recorded our album, the Spectre of Devastation album, in January, so we've been quite busy the first quarter of the year with the production of the album, and we had a few shows booked for 2020, and all of them were postponed. So, like for all the other artists, I assume. So we did actually do a few shows in January before this stuff hit the street, so to speak. But we've been working with the album and all the stuff around the album and the release, because we signed with Napalm Records this summer, and after the signing, we had a lot of stuff to do, like catching up and like fixing before the release. And this is signing with Napalm Records is the jump from underground to another level. So we had to do a lot of stuff, that's for sure. But all the shows were cancelled, so nothing there. We had hopes to play a release show on November the 13th, so in a week. But we cancelled it. So we cancelled it today due to the COVID situation. We can't do it because last week Sweden, they didn't restrict people, but they forced recommendations that you shouldn't do that stuff, and we can't do it, unfortunately. So it's a sad year. It is, yeah.
But at least you were busy, and you know, had it been that you're at this point, you're ready to tour this new record. You just signed with a huge metal label, and then COVID hit. That would have been much more difficult for you guys, I think, versus being in that creative finishing up the album and then tying up all the loose ends and leveling up to the huge label standards. It was probably actually a good year for that to happen. And kudos to you for canceling that gig. I know it was probably one of the hardest decisions that you guys had to make this year, but I stand by you. It's the right decision. And I know for myself in Cryptopsy, I will not play a show until it's safe for everyone that is attending the show, and for myself playing the show, and for the venues that are hosting the show and the staff. There is no way that we're going to social distance appropriately in an extreme metal show. And I know I've been listening to your tracks. Once you guys get going, people aren't going to stand still.
There's no, usually they won't. And usually that's a good thing. So
it's not even a show that I want to play standing on a stage to a bunch of seated people.
No.
It's not what extreme music is about.
We actually said that if they force us to do a seated show, we would cancel. So maybe we could have gone through with the show on Friday with seated audience, but we won't do it because that's not the same thing, and that's not what the audience expects. They need to be at the stage, you know, at the front, you know, headbang and drink beer. So and that's not something that goes very well with COVID, unfortunately.
Absolutely not. But it will be all the more worth it. Once we are back, I bet that, you know, I am been in, you know, mosh pit retirement for a few years now, but I imagine that when it's, you know, it is safe and there are shows happening again, I'm going to come out of pit retirement even, because it's just going to be so exhilarating to finally be in that environment again of extremity. And I can't wait to do it. And I imagine the shows that are going to happen post COVID are going to be some of the most intense shows that we have ever played as artists.
Yeah, people are really looking forward to shows, so it's going to be intense.
Absolutely. You mentioned beer, which is perfect because I needed to transition to craft beer. Vox and Hops is all about hanging out with my metal friends, talking about their lives, music, and craft beer. Chris, what beer do you have on your side there that we're going to virtually share? Introduce it to me, please.
So I have so this is from a local brewery. It's a very small brewery, and this is an India Pale Ale, which was released just recently. So this is actually the first time I've tested it, I think. So 7%, and it's a really small local brewery, and they do brew really good beer, and I like to support them, of course. Yeah.
We have to, just like we need our fans to support us right now. We must support local breweries and small industries everywhere because it's very difficult with COVID. What is the name of that brewery there, Chris?
So Uddevalla Bryggeri. So it's Uddevalla Brewery. So Uddevalla is the city where we're from.
Awesome. That sounds awesome. Awesome. On my side, I'm going to be drinking Ginette from Bira Bar Maison, which is a very small brewery here in Montreal, Quebec. It is a 3.5% sour hoppy brew. I'm going to crack this out and pour it out. And while I do that, tell me about the very first beer that you had, Chris. Do you remember the first beer that you've ever had?
Oh, well, I don't remember specifically, but it would be like a 3.5 beer. I think because I don't know how old I was, but probably pretty young, maybe too young. So I remember we bought 3.5 beer in six packs, and we hid them in the woods. And when we took the bus, we just picked them up and jumped on the bus and went to the party. So yeah, it was probably some local, like Swedish 3.5 beer, lager.
That was premeditated planning. I love it.
Yeah.
And I have spoken to a bunch of people from Sweden recently, funnily enough, and I've heard the whole story of the monopoly of all higher ABVs have to go to your state-run liquor store, and the way to get around that, a lot of people are making these low ABV, hence the 3.5 brews that you picked up there. Yeah. Very interesting. Cheers. Let's
cheers.
See what these beers got going on. Cheers.
Let's try this one.
Ooh, it's got a sour bite with nice little hop profile. Lemony. Very interesting. I've had this beer before. I like it very much. Ginette from Bira, if you guys can get here in Montreal. Support Bira. Love it, love it. How's yours?
It's great. It's a little reddish in the color. It's because of the red ale malt. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a limited run, I think. This one.
Very cool, very cool. Small batches.
Yes.
Yeah, I love how, just like in music, everything's experimental with craft beer. I love it.
Yeah.
That's hence why I have the podcast.
Yeah.
Let's talk about craft beer now. Do you remember your first craft beer? Because I know the craft beer scene in Sweden is just exploding right now.
Yes, it's huge. So, I can't recall exactly when I was introduced to craft beer, but we've had it for a while in Sweden, and it's been growing. And now it's been exploding for the few last years. So we do have these, we've got lots of fairs, I think, but one big one in Gothenburg, like thousands attend, like 30, 40,000, I think, but lots of people. So the whole town of Gothenburg is like choked, traffic jams and stuff when this is going on. And then lots of local breweries from all around Sweden are, and even neighboring countries like Denmark and Norway are gathering and bringing like limited runs and lots of fun stuff to try out. I've been going to that one for a few years, and this year obviously it was cancelled because of COVID. But it's real fun, and then you get the picture of how huge this is with craft beer in Sweden. So we have loads and loads of breweries in the Gothenburg area, and Uddevalla is like just north of Gothenburg. So we have extremely many good quality breweries. So super good quality, actually, in Gothenburg. I don't know how many, but lots of breweries. And that's really good if you're into craft beer. But the first time, a lot of explanation before coming to an answer. But yeah, it was probably like 5 or 10 years ago, I think. So the Gothenburg scene was pretty early in the craft brewery, and now these breweries are owned because they get like acquired by the giants, of course, because they know that, wow, this is money. But we can't do it ourselves. We got to acquire a local brewery, and we need to keep the name and you know, stuff and people, obviously. But it was probably like 5 or 10 years ago, something like that, when I was introduced to craft beer, and then it became sort of an interest. So nowadays I only drink craft beer, except when I'm tour. I try to you know, it's expensive, of course.
Yes.
But I rather drink fewer beer but better quality. So I like to go to Systembolaget. That's the monopoly government controlled. So like to check out for new stuff, new releases, new breweries, and they usually have this because they're actually very great, Systembolaget. So they're doing a great job, but they usually have this, you know, batches of very hard to get stuff, so I usually prowl that that shelf for new stuff.
That's very exciting.
But I'm really into craft beer. Yeah,
I love it. I love it. What would be a typical night for you? For myself, I love everything. I love craft beer. I love sour brews. I love low ABV brews. I love hoppy IPAs. I love the juicy, hazy IPAs. I love stouts. What would be a typical drinking night for you if you're going out to taste some craft
beers? Well, I do like APAs. So American Pale Ale and India Pale Ale, obviously. Those are probably my favorites. I do drink like the sour stuff as well. But that's on occasion. I do drink more IPAs and APAs and Imperial IPAs. So I usually try those first. Yeah, those are my favorites anyway.
Very cool. Very cool. Let's put craft beer on the shelf and move into music now. Talk to me about the soundtrack of your youth. This is a classic Vox and Hops question at this point. When you were at home, when you were young, and your parents and guardians were listening to music, what music were they listening to when you were not in control?
So my parents, my dad was listening to, he was the one introducing me to like rock and roll music. So he was listening to UFO, Creedence Clearwater Revival. I know that 70s hard rock stuff. He was very into that one. So I liked it from the get-go, so to speak, and I was into rock and roll music early. And it's been with me since. So for some reason, it grows on you.
It's an acquired taste, like
yes,
beer,
it is.
Right?
Yeah, so. Yeah.
It's also that tunneling vortex of once you're into it, you want more, and you want something a little bit more intense, maybe a little bit more extreme. What would have been the first band that was your band that you were obsessed with?
Probably Kiss. I think Kiss or Guns N' Roses, I'm not sure, but it was in the 80s. And I remember my mom, when we were out playing, she would bring the stereo outside when a Kiss or a Guns N' Roses song was playing on the radio. So that was probably so cool. The first like more obsessive stuff, yeah.
That's amazing. Do you remember the first time you ever went to go witness live music, the first show that you ever attended?
Well, that's a good question. I'm not sure. But it might have been like a Metallica show. I think so.
Really?
I think it was.
It's starting up there. That's amazing.
So you usually get into Metallica if you listen to hard rock or metal. at least you did. Because they were so huge back then. They're obviously huge now as well, but you know what I mean? After releasing the Black Album and stuff, they were like the kings because they had released so many great albums. And you. And also, I listened a lot to Megadeth back then. But probably Metallica, yeah.
Do you remember that gig? Do you remember the feeling of it? Do you remember being in the crowd? Do you remember the goosebumps of when they finally hit the stage? Do you remember all that?
Yes, I think so. Yeah. Yeah. I think so. It was great. And I was pretty young, I think. So I would imagine I would have like been tanking up on beer before because I wasn't able to buy it on the show.
That's amazing. How about your first time on stage? Do you remember your first show ever?
Well, yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think so. I think it might have been with Frederick, who is singer and guitarist in Warfecht, because we've been playing for so long in different bands. So it's most likely we two hit the stage sometime. Yeah. Like in the 90s, in the mid-90s, probably. Yeah.
Wow. I love that. I love that you guys have remained together for so long, too, through various projects and you know, just striving and keeping going and signing to Napalm. You know, it's huge. That's amazing. And it's really, really cool. That must have been quite the kinship that you guys have gone through all these years. And you got probably hammered out all those early fights early on.
Yeah, probably. I can't remember that many fights. So I get to know Frederick in 86.
Wow.
So we've been tagging along for a long time and played in like numerous projects, numerous music projects. So it was like when we started Warfecht, it was the way to go, so to speak. It was obvious. So, yeah. that we would do something together. So it's really funny. We did this, and it went on to become something a little more. And signing with Napalm is obviously a very good token of appreciation.
Absolutely, and approval too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who picked up the instrument first, you or Frederick?
I think we did it at the same time. We started to play the guitar. Like in Sweden, we have a very supportive government. So we usually start to play an instrument and are introduced to music at a very early age. So like when you go to first class, you get introduced to music, and you're having music on the like not every day, but once a week at least, and you're supported by the government as you go on, because you have music in the school. You also have a public music school, which is supported by the government, where lots of people go. And after that, you have financial support to start musical projects, like starting a band. So then they give you money to rehearse and to projects. It's super supportive, and that's probably why so many bands are coming from Sweden, because we're only now 10 million people, but still a very small country or to the population, in regards to the population. So that's probably why, because we are introduced to music, and all of the years as we grow up, we are supported by the government to keep on playing music and doing stuff. But me and Fredrik, we started at school playing guitar, and then we went to the public music school playing guitar as well. And
very, very cool.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. So I, being from Montreal, I think it's interesting that, you know, Montreal is such a, you know, there's a pinnacle cities for metal out there. Sweden, Gothenburg, you know, is one of them for sure. Montreal for death metal is one of them. There's Florida. There's the, you know, the San Francisco Bay Area. But Sweden being there, now you guys being musicians for so long, going through so many projects, how do you see the Swedish scene as a family? Because I know here in Montreal, we are a huge family of bands. You know, there's so many bands that have come from Montreal. And I get asked that question all the time. Why Montreal? Why does it work? Why are there so many bands? Why is it so extreme? Whenever I get interviewed, and I sort of have over the years come up with my answer. So that's very interesting that you have your answer for the Swedish scene. Why the Swedish scene? But tell me about growing up in that scene and seeing all these bands succeeding and you guys still hammering on. How was that for you guys? You know, like At the Gates, Dark Tranquility, the list goes on and on, of course. How was it for you as a young musician growing up in that scene and seeing all your friends and comrades moving on and you guys still almost struggling until now you get signed by a huge label?
So when we were growing up, it seemed like everybody was playing in a band. Everybody was playing in a band, and everybody was playing in metal. It was super huge when we grew up. So all my friends were playing in bands, metal bands, and it was like the only way to go, it seemed. And everybody liked metal, everybody played, and everybody struggled, of course. But then you have those bands that like broke into maybe not the mainstream, but you know, grew bigger. But I don't know those people of the Gothenburg scene, unfortunately. Not many of them, at least. So you have, you know, At the Gates and In Flames, The Haunted, Dark Tranquility, lots of bands in the 90s coming from the Gothenburg scene. But I think those guys are like, if I would have like an older brother, they would know them, because my friends' older brothers know them. So they're a little bit older than us, and they started earlier, probably, like paved the way, I would say, for other bands. So
did it give you guys like hope that it was more in reach than had it not had been there? So let's say they were all from Finland or something. Did it, you guys, when you guys were growing up and writing and practicing and enjoying music, was it like, oh, this is something that we could do one day? Because I had that feeling here in Montreal, because there was some, I would go to, you know, Steve's Music Store, which is a classic music store here in Montreal, and I would cross people and I'd be like, oh, that guy's in that band. Oh, you know, he just shops at the same store as me, you know, like.
Absolutely, yeah. So it felt more possible or doable. And you met lots of people, you know, who had signed record deals, and you know that it might be in reach. So and then you struggled on because at least in the early age, as a musician, you tend to hope drives you. Like, yeah, it's possible. We could get signed. You know, they got signed. We could do it. Come on. So it's important, of course, to have that hope and drive to move forward. Yeah. And we had it. Yeah.
Amazing. That's why, you know, there's so many member changes in extreme music, because that hope dies.
Yeah. Yeah.
it's always sad when that happens, but there's always the key warriors that still believe in it, that keep going. And they're the ones that always end up making it. There's always a light at the end of the tunnel if you got some hope.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. It's all about time. Actually, it is.
Persistence.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's dance back into craft beer. If you could make a Warfect craft beer collaboration with a brewery, what style would it be, and what would you call it?
Oh, since I'm into you know, APAs and IPAs, but I know Fredrik and Mannis is maybe not that much into that stuff, so they would probably like it to be a lager. So it's two against one, so it probably would be a lager, but a craft.
You could do a hoppy lager.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Some kind of pilsner, you know, like a craft lager, I think. And I have no idea what we would have called it. Well, something with war,
yes,
maybe, or something with we tend to like to incorporate the judge, our like mascot guy. So he would probably featured on the label and maybe in the name as well.
I love it. I love it. I love it. You guys were going to do a release show. I had this question in mind without even knowing that. But if you could do a release tour, who would you have on that tour to best represent Warfect as a, you know, like to show it to the most amount of people? What bands would you put on that perfect release tour?
Oh, well, Napalm do have some bands that would be great to tour with, I think, because Napalm as a label, their roster, they have like Evil, Warbringer, Nervosa, lots of, you know, thrash metal bands that would go pretty well with us, I think. And obviously all of those bands are bigger than us, because we're like the smallest band on Napalm. Now? Yeah.
For now, yes.
So
there's that hope. The hope is still there. I love it.
So maybe to go do something with them, and Cavalera Conspiracy, because they're like a huge influence to us from the Sepultura era. Like late 80s and early 90s, it would be fantastic to do something with them. And they're on Napalm as well.
It probably never happens to you, because you're very controlled and you know what's going on, but it happens to everyone every once in a while. What is your hangover cure, Chris?
Oh, hangovers certainly happen to me. Actually, I've been starting to drink cocoa water. So I think, because I do also trail running, and
do you very cool?
And then I like lose a big amount of water, and I need to like restore the water balance, and then I do drink some coconut water, and I think that goes very well with hangovers as well, because you need to restore the balance, like with salts, with the fluids and other stuff as well. So yeah, that would be my trick. Anyway, I would try it.
Very, very cool. I've heard it. I've heard that one before. I haven't tried it, but I've heard it, and that's very cool. Trail running, that's a extreme as Spectre of Devastation, which came out November 13th via Napalm Records. Everyone, go listen to it. Everything I've heard from it is absolutely amazing. Super intense riffing. I love it. I love it. I love it. Chris, thank you so much for taking the time, having a chat with me about your life, about music, and of course about craft beer.
Yes.
I'm very, very stoked and super stoked to have had you. Cheers.
Cheers.
Hey, thank you all so much for listening right to the end. You know that I love and appreciate that. Really, really enjoyed my chat with Chris. I really, really, really enjoyed Spectre of Devastation, their new album, which just dropped via Napalm Records. It's a freaking riff show. Go check it out if you haven't. Trust me, you shall not be disappointed. If you enjoyed this Vox and Hops episode, please go and subscribe to it on the podcast platform of your choice. But not only that, you should also take the time to rate it and write a review, because if you do that, more people just like yourself will be able to discover the Vox and Hops podcast. Vox and Hops is brought to you by Sound Talent Media. I hope you guys have a beautiful, wondrous, relaxing holiday season. As I mentioned during the intro of this podcast, I am looking forward to relaxing. I will be back on January 1st, and I shall be dropping two epic episodes. That's right, people. Two episodes to ring in 2021, and they are both top 10 episodes. Just like last year, I have enlisted the help of my brother, Ali Pinard, of Cryptopsy, Cattle Decapitation, Acurian, and Vengeful, the Vox and Hops alumni, to come and help me pick the top 10 metal albums of 2020. It was super hard this year, but we did it. We got it down, and we shall be announcing those on January 1st on Vox and Hops episode number 216. But not only that, just like last year, I have teamed up with Craig Thorne of the BAOS podcast to hash out the top 10 Quebec microbreweries. Except this year, we are bringing in another Vox and Hops alumni to make this top 10 Quebec microbrasserie episode even better. We have enlisted the help of Noah Forrest of beerism.ca. That episode will also be dropping on January 1st. Until then, everyone, please, please, please relax, stay safe during this holiday season, and most importantly, remember to enjoy life, metal, and craft beer. Cheers, Vox and Hops heads.
Hi, this is Chad Nicefield.
And this is Justin Press.
We're the host of Making Waves, the Shiprock podcast, a part of the Sound Talent Media podcast network. We're inviting you to sail away with us on an epic journey in musical enlightenment. Every week, we bring you only the best artists in rock music and discuss everything from the cruise to the stage to the saga of being a professional recording artist. We'll have lots of special guests along the way, so tune in every week.
Your stateroom is available every Monday morning, so welcome aboard.